It is 7:45 on a Saturday morning, last day of the month of May. We say hi to Ted Farrell from Haskell's with another Wine Chat. Ted, good morning.
Good morning, Daddy. How are you today?
I'm quite well, thank you for asking. Hope you are, too. And it looks like summer is on its way.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I think we're on the same wavelength because we were thinking that as we were kind of chatting up what to talk about down at the shop. And, you know, we're trying to throw some positivity at it. You know, this last week was a little bit miserable as far as a drizzle and a rain. But this weekend looks like there's some optimism as far as, like you just said, summer's finally here. And, you know, when summer's finally here, that truly means it's time for some rosés. And, you know, rosés have been beaten up in the past. At one point, they were one of the most popular wines, you know, with the Beringer White, Zinfandel, things like that. But a properly made rosé on a warm day, there's just nothing better than that. I remember it was about 15 to 20 years ago, before all this rosé craze started, my father and I were at dinner at Chateau Clark. Now, Chateau Clark is in Bordeaux. Wonderful estate, but the interesting thing is it's owned by the Rothschild family, and this is the branch of the Rothschilds that might be the most wealthy, but ironically own the vineyards that no one's ever heard of called Chateau Clark. They also had another vineyard called Chateau Malmaison as well, but we were being entertained by the Rothschilds, and they poured this wonderful pink wine as an aperitif, and we were just amazed by it and just thought it was so fun, so delicious. And we asked what it was, and they said, well, it's our rosé that we make here at Chateau Clark. And when we said, well, we'd like to buy a pallet of that, we think we could sell that. And well before this craze, they thought we grew a second head, as far as they thought it was so peculiar that these Americans would want to buy into these rosés. And what a fun experiment it's been. We've been a little bit ahead of the curve, or way ahead of the curve for years on this one, but we always preached drinking very, very good rosés and well-made rosés. You could roll back to the old story of Sutter Homes in Fendel. You know, they back in about the early 80s, maybe it was even late 70s, they were rolling in their Zinfandel grape, and they got the word that the Merlot was ready, so they had to flush the tanks of all the Zinfandel and then get ready for Merlot, because in those days it was Chateau Cash Flow, not so much Merlot. That was the big grape varietal that everybody did. Well, at the end of production, they realized, oh my goodness, we have vats and vats of this pink stuff. What do we do? And they sold it at their wine shop right there locally, and they branded it White Zinfandel because they didn't know what to do with it. And it became a hit, became popular, then everybody started making it. But the one thing about those White Zinfandels, and then you even see white Merlots, etc., is that they were on the sweeter side. I mean, in some cases, it was almost like Kool-Aid. Maybe it was even a manufactured wine in the sense of, you know, kind of following a recipe. And, you know, it kind of got bastardized. People just thought it was a tacky wine, you know, just for just complacency or whatever. Somebody with the sweet tooth made sure that your auntie or your grandmother was drinking White Zinfandel because it was sweeter and that's what they enjoyed. But a properly made rosé comes from a red grape varietal, hence a Zinfandel or a Merlot or any red grape varietal. Because what happens is when you crush the grapes, you get white juice. There's kind of a misnomer, probably because the Concord grapes that people are used to eating, when you squeeze that grape, that a red juice comes out, and that's not the case at all. A white juice comes out, but it's the contact with the skins that pigments the wine into what degree of coloration you want, whether it's a nice light pink wine. So usually rosés, they only keep it in contact with the skins, in some cases just for hours, maybe overnight, to get it that nice pink color. So that's the kind of the big trick when you're searching around and looking for a good rosé. Make sure it's kind of a well-made rosé and coming from a region that maybe knows how to do it. And so one great wine what we have, I went through and I selected about four great rosés. And if you line these rosés up, you would think we have the rainbow palette of pink coloration, because the first one is Domaine Fazzi. Now, this comes from Corsica, which is the fourth largest island in the Mediterranean Ocean, and it's been a French territory for about 300 or 400 years, and it's a gorgeous little island, it's kind of France's, if you want to say, Mexico, so to speak, because so many people love to go down there in the summertime. They sit, they have wonderful beaches, great maritime climate, easy to relax, enjoy everything. But this Domaine Fazzi has this onion skin coloration to it. It is so faint. It is so light, but it's a really great expression of a rosé, because especially when it gets real, real hot, you can chill this. It doesn't overpower your palate. It's so light. It's so easy, so refreshing. It has a Stilben capsule on it, so you just twist it off. You know, it's real easy, approachable wine, and quite frankly, fun to have around. It's just unique, and it's so easy, and that's a great wine to start everybody out with. This. People are coming in the house, and maybe it's a great introduction into rosés as well, since it's so light. You know, some people get scared. They see that pink, and they all of a sudden, you know, the alarms go off. Uh-oh, they're serving sweet wine. They're serving sweet wine. And this is real nice, bone dry, and crisp. Next rosé I'd like to feature is called Beaumatin. Beaumatin is made by the Castel Company, which is a very, very large company in France. I think maybe the fourth or fifth largest company overall. And it was started by a fellow who developed all these different restaurants and then retail, and then he all of a sudden started buying up wineries. This comes from the Terre de Midi, which is basically the Languedoc Valley down in the south of France, right by the Mediterranean. It's a wonderful little wine. You know, the great general grape varietal on this one is most likely Merlot, but it is a broad area. And it's a fun bottle of wine. It's one of those unique wines as a retailer we hate, but as a consumer you might like, because the oblong shape of the bottle is so kind of fun and unique. You know, if you're having a party and you have that bottle, it's really going to draw people's eyes. But as a retailer, you always hate it because it doesn't fit in any of the shelves. But nonetheless, the quality of the wine is just terrific. Putting it in that bottle is so gorgeous. But that Medi region where you're down on the Mediterranean, and it does span from basically the Pyrenees Mountains all the way over to the Rhone Valley, but it's a nice light, and we step it up in coloration. It gets a little bit more longer exposure to those grape varietals, so there's a little bit more characteristic to it, a little bit more body, and a little bit more flair. Now, all these wines you can serve with just simple salads or shrimp or things like that. Very easy, very nice, very approachable wines. But again, you kind of go to those areas where the people really know how to make those wines and enjoy those types of rosés. Now, being a proud American, we always love some rosé from the United States. And where better to do that than up in the Willamette Valley? We have a Greetings rosé made. And this is a particular one for Haskell's. We haven't been carrying too long. It's only about 8 or 10 years. But it's such a nice expression of American rosé. Now, up in the Willamette, obviously, they're known for growing Pinot Noir. Now, Pinot Noir is not as big as Cabernet, not as big as Merlot, but it's a wonderful wine, a little bit thinner skin. And again, if you look at the coloration of these wines, you're getting a little bit darker, a little bit richer compared to its other counterparts because of that Pinot Noir resonates through it. So you do get a little bit more of a raspberry flavor to it. You know, the other two, as far as flavorations, maybe kind of unripened strawberries or those real, real fresh strawberries. This, you're kind of moving into more of a raspberry, a little bit bolder flavor-wise. And again, you know, if you're doing this with salmon like they do up in the Pacific Northwest, it is just a match made in heaven. So enjoyable, so rich, so wonderful, and it's a true great expression. And it's also to kind of tell the world, hey, guess what? America can make really great world-class rosés as well. And lastly, I'd be remiss to mention, now this was my father's favorite rosé and maybe one of his favorite wines just all around, and it's called Tavel Cuvée Royale. Now this one, you would almost, if you're just whizzing through the wine aisles, you would maybe think that this is even a red wine as far as the dark coloration of this wine. Because it is very, very dark, very, very rich, and that's because it comes from the Rhone Valley. Now, a Tavel is a specific region inside the Rhone Valley, and it's so unique for the simple fact that this wine only, in this region, they only produce rosé. And their rosés are generally a little bit bigger, a little bit bolder. They do have the Grenache grape that they use predominantly. There might be a little bit of Syrah they use to get that dark, dark coloration. This was a particular wine that was always a favorite that I would serve, and maybe I got my father kind of tuned into it on my son's birthday, which was in the at the end of July. It was always hotter than the hinges of Hades, and so we could put that, bury that at the bottom of the ice chest. And so I've always said it's kind of, Tavel is kind of a red wine that drinks like a white wine in a sense, because it has that dark coloration, but it's still lighter style. You can see right through the wine, but you can put a heavy chill on it. And as you're consuming it, it seems like you're drinking a white wine because it's so light and easy. And again, you can put a heavy, heavy chill on it. But it's so unique because it's the only region in all of France solely dedicated to the production of rosé. Great rich history down there. And again, they know how to do it because, you know, down in the south of France, it does get awfully warm. You know, you get the heat of the day, which really kind of can spike up into the high 90s. Really, you know, just it's a sticky wine almost. And that way, these rosés, you can kind of, again, chill them nicely. You can sit under a little pavilion. You go out on the patio. You get one of these wines, open it up, and you can just enjoy the weather, enjoy the day, and enjoy lighter fare, and just enjoy life.
Well, I tell you, I know we're almost out of time, but one thing I've learned in doing the show for so many years, thanks to you and your dad, is I too fell into that, oh, rosé, are you kidding? Years ago, sweet. But I tell you what, there are some fantastic rosés that like you said, even the bone dry stuff. It's really, and I don't have to wait till summer either, right?
I don't. I mean, I usually have a little rosé in the middle of winter or whatever, and it's a great way to start out, you know, as an aperitif. You just pour that little wine out, and it's enjoyable. It's surprising. And it could be, you know, 20 below outside and snow, but so what? Then you just fantasize that you're down in Corsica or in the south of France.
Absolutely. Well, tell you what, Ted, let's tell folks where you can find all these wonderful wines and more.
You are correct. All these particular wines currently are under $20 a bottle. They're great values, great deals. With this warm weather coming up, you should stock up your cellar, get things ready to sit out in the patio and enjoy life. And there's a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with lots of free parking in the weekends. There's a Haskell's in Minnetonka right across from the Ridgedale Shopping Center. Haskell's in Wright and Highland Village in St. Paul. We have a Haskell's down in Lohman's Plaza in Bloomington. There's a Haskell's right on Excelsior. So if you go out to the lake and maybe want to have a burger and pick up some of these robes, they stop by Haskell's in Excelsior. There's the Haskell's in White Bear Lake if you're headed out east to go to White Bear Lake. And or if you want to go on the river, stop by Haskell's Stillwater. Headed down south right off of 35, there's a Haskell's in Faribault. There's also a Haskell's in Plymouth. And our super cellar in Maple Grove, if you're headed up north, is a sight to be seen. Stock up on these rosés, all of which are under $20, and have to start your weekend and get things going and enjoy some of this great weather.
And one quick question from a listener, Ted, as far as rosés. How best to chill a rosé?
Yeah, some of it depends on the actual rosé. Some of them you can bury right in the bottom of your ice chest. Like that Domaine Fazi I talked about is a little bit lighter. That might be a refrigerator cool, but that Tavel, you can just bury under ice. So it just depends a little bit on your particular rosé.
All right. Yeah, good stuff. Ted, thanks so much. Let's talk next Saturday, and it'll be the month of June then.
We'll be looking forward to summer finally starting up in this great state of ours.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ted. Ted Farrell. His Wine Chat resumes next Saturday at 7:45 here on 830 WCCO.